Hey, it's been a long time since I've actually done a podcast on Circuit Breakers, and I'm finally back. Thank you to Nerdvana and the folks here for letting us use their studio. And now that I have the studio, I am talking to Mark. Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm Mark Langford, and I'm the principal consultant of Aberfoyle Associates, which is a consulting company that offers services to growing technology companies in the areas of IoT and cybersecurity.
Right on. And so, you know, after a long break, kind of catching people up, and, you know, one of the reasons I started this podcast is I really wanted to talk to the makers out there and really talk about IoT, where it's going, what's growing, what the expected trends are, you know, 2017, 2018. And, you know, Mark's the perfect person to talk about where things are going, right? Especially what he's seen in this last year, right? We're in Thanksgiving, December timeframe by the time this podcast gets released. And so, you know, Mark, what are the trends you saw this last year, and where do you see things coming up in the next year?
Sure. Let me start by defining terms. Most of my focus has been on industrial IoT rather than consumer IoT. So the definition between the two is there are a lot of things on the consumer side like Fitbits and Nest and
connected toasters.
Yes. And self-aware refrigerators and so forth, all of which are very interesting. It's I don't get too involved on the consumer side. On the industrial side, the deployment of IoT is like the extension of human awareness. The whole idea behind using sensors out in the field or in, for example, the parking lots and airports is to increase your awareness of what's going on at a much greater range. And we've seen an explosion of different applications, different use cases that make good sense for the deployment of the Internet of Things. Everything from farmers using small, low-cost sensors that they plow into their fields along with their seeds that monitor soil conditions so that they can optimize the growth of their crops. We've seen the U.S. Forest Service get interested in small sensors that they are deploying by tossing them out of helicopters to monitor extreme changes in temperature across vast areas of land so that they can monitor forest fires much more easily than they can through visual inspection. There are a lot of use cases that are developing for IoT. I think, though, that the main trends that we've seen in the past year are that economics have come into play. There is a lot of optimism about deployment of IoT technology more than a year ago. There's a lot of VC money that was pumped into the development and implementation of the technology. What we've seen, though, is that things have stalled somewhat, and I'll try to break it down by individual sectors.
Yeah, so kind of like let's break that down a little bit. That's a lot of information really quickly, right? Which is good. I mean, you know, now we know where industrial IoT is and we know kind of what we're talking about. So let's start with one vertical, right? I mean, there's different areas, right? You just mentioned ag, you also mentioned manufacturing, and then also kind of something it's we talk about industrial, like the parking example, but really it's kind of a hybrid of industrial meets consumer, right? So let's start with kind of two kind of key areas, right? Agriculture, right? It's been a big thing right now. It was really interesting as of recent. You know, there's been a lot of devastation in California, and so kind of picking on them. But the wine areas, right? They're starting to, not just wineries, but farmers in general are starting to get smarter about their fields, and, you know, use sensors to determine how much they need to water versus not. And what other things are you seeing farmers utilize and use and kind of just kind of sticking to ag? What are the kind of things that you kind of see now, and where do you see, you know, next year kind of shift in focus? Do you think, the wineries, with after all the devastation, are they going to be able to utilize IoT more in new ways that they haven't yet before because they just didn't have the time to rebuild, and the rebuild may end up, you know, while you're rebuilding, you have new technology coming in?
Sure. Every time that there's a disaster of sorts, there's an opportunity that, you know, it creates a discontinuity that allows fresh investment into new areas. Because the disaster usually wipes out legacy systems, so you have an opportunity to step in and leapfrog to a more modern level of technology. I guess the biggest application, and it's not something that's unique to agriculture, but the biggest application that we've seen is in asset tracking. So in an agricultural example, it's tracking of not only the produce, the you know, truckloads full of corn, or you know, where and what your inventory is of finished goods, but also you know, where are the trucks and where are the forklifts, and just keeping track of where high value assets are at any point in time is invaluable information. And I mentioned it's not something that's unique to the agricultural environment. The city of Cincinnati has decided to deploy IoT sensors on their city buses. And this allows them not only to keep track of where their buses are at any point in time, but they've taken the information and created a map of the city of Cincinnati, and they overlay where the buses are on a map and allow public access to that website so that the public can see at any point in time where bad traffic congestion is throughout the city. Because if they see, you know, buses are behind schedule in a certain area, they know that there's traffic congestion at that point, in those places at that point in time. In any industrial setting where there are high value items, whether it's, you know, even in a hospital environment, you know, certainly in a warehouse environment or an industrial environment, where you have heavy machinery that is used and moves around from point to point, it's invaluable to be able to keep track of where those are.
Yeah, so in
addition,
like,
to inventories.
So that's interesting, because it's going. I'm kind of trying to guide us, right? But you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Right, you're right. Asset tracking is huge, and it's probably one of the biggest things I've seen revolutionize the IoT space, right? So everything from being able to tell when my next bus is going to show up, and is it 12 minutes away, is it 5 minutes away, what the plan is, and you know, how does it tie into better public service? You know, to your point, where are city vehicles? What's going on with them? Why is Joe still sitting in the field? Is it taking him forever to fix a drainage pipe or something like that, right? At least in the certain city cases. And then, you know, in agriculture cases, the funny part is, from a past job, I kept on hearing about tractors, right? So tractors not only just stay in one field, it's not just one farmer operating a tractor or like some of the equipment, because for them, it doesn't make any sense to utilize that equipment all the time. And so they don't necessarily own it. They rent it, lease it, whatever. So for example, whenever harvest time comes around, not all the fields get harvested at once. They use that special harvester for grain, for example, harvester for a little while. And then for a little while, they'll kind of move it to another field or whatever. So they lose harvesters sometimes, or the grain hoppers, or where's that next truck coming in to unload the harvester or the grain hopper or anything else. So, you know, that's something that's really interesting. So where are you seeing it going next? What is the most utilized thing for asset tracking that's going to happen in 2018? What's the trend?
Well, certainly the higher the value of the asset, the greater the interest is in knowing where it is at any given point in time. Now, I think, though, the trend is, you know, the sky is really the limit as to how many different applications this could apply to. The difficulty that the IoT world has is in communicating the information from the sensors to a network so that information can be digested and to turned into actionable intelligence. So, you know, for asset tracking, that involves wireless signals from the sensors themselves being transmitted back to base stations, and then that information being synthesized, in the example I gave with the city of Cincinnati, overlay onto a map so that you could visually recognize where your assets were. But the challenge that IoT networks are facing is that the trend that we've seen over the last year or so is that a lot of VC money has gone into the deployment and build out of IoT wireless service provider networks, but that the take up of services has not gotten to the point where they're very profitable. And so the build out of the IoT service provider networks, while it was very ambitious a year ago, and they had forecasted, for example, providing service in 30 different U.S. cities, that rollout has stalled, and they're waiting for an uptake of service before they have enough revenue to continue with the rollout plans. So, I guess, it's a roundabout way of saying that while there is a lot of creativity being put into the development of new use cases, and a lot of people are thinking in terms of how they could use the technology, the economics of actual deployment hasn't caught up quite yet with it. There's a third area, beyond the sensors and the transmission of wireless data back to a data center. There's a third area, and that's the middleware.
So, let's pause on that, right? So not meaning to like interrupt, but okay. So I'm thinking with the wireless networks, right? There's been a lot of talk, and a lot of the audience that listens to us, they know about LoRa and Sigfox and wireless N and weightless N and things like that. And I'll have Ed here in the next episode or two. So he's going to go on about that. So we don't have to go on too terribly much about it. But so again, go back to trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Wireless networks are huge, right? So you're seeing them actually build out. Is there going to be a usable network now? Are there usable networks right now in the last year? I mean, I know Ed's going to cover a lot of, how much ParkHub's using the weightless N standard, I believe, right? Which that's an example that, lots of parking lots around the U.S. are starting to do parking sensors. So you just pay when your car shows up and it dings your app and you're good to go. And also parking garages and things like that, right? Versus, out in the fields or as these city buses, they're still, a lot of them are still relying on cellular. And now cellular is also coming out with Cat-M and narrowband. So what's your take on Cat-M and narrowband?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a day of reckoning here soon where the existing IoT network service providers they're going to keep exploring technologies to find the best way, the most economical way of reaching the sensors and providing a value-based business. However, I'm betting here that the major service providers of the world, the AT&Ts and the Verizons and others, who have existing cell tower infrastructure and have existing billing and customer services and so forth, infrastructure already in place, I have to believe they are just salivating at the opportunity to get into this space. The problem that they are faced with is that the average revenue per user that their business model is based upon is, for a cellular subscriber, it's in the neighborhood of $30-something per user. And whereas in an IoT world, the average revenue per user is something like less than $8 a month, in some cases significantly less than $8 a month. So they really want to get into the business. They see themselves as being the wireless service providers in the country. They just can't figure out how to adjust their business model yet to get down to the price point to be able to offer services in the IoT world. But I think they'll figure it out at some point in time, either through acquisition or perhaps providing web-based customer service in order to lower their overheads and reach that price point. So my guess is that that's the way that the technology is going to roll out, that it could be that the major cell providers acquire the technology and just dedicate separate IoT networks, or it could be that they figure out how to economically do it within their own cell infrastructure and offer services at a price point that meets the IoT market.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so now we were going to the middleware layer, right? So we know where wireless is going. We know that also cellular, to your point, right? It's you know, I'm right there with you. Personally, I believe it's going to be a backhaul situation. But I also think, you know, knowing that and knowing how the wireless networks work and everything else, how do we do a middle layer of, or not middle layer, how do we, you know, translate all this data? Where does it go? And then also your expertise, right? You're working on security all the time. So what are you seeing there?
Well, certainly the middleware part is the most dynamic, I think, segment of an IoT network. You know, the as I mentioned earlier, the sensor business, I think, is going to go the way of mass manufacturing, and that's not something where the U.S. competes very effectively. You know, even the backhaul business is okay, but it's not terribly lucrative. I think where the high margin sales are going to be are in the data analytics area, is in analyzing the data from all of these sensors to come up with what are the trends and what are the actions that should be taken. You know, there was a really good use case that came out, for example, a couple of years ago where an oil company wanted to monitor the their high value oil pumps, and these oil pumps were geographically spread over a wide oil field, and periodically the oil pumps were prone to breaking down. And analysis of sensor data of these pumps determined that they could anticipate when the pumps were going to break down by various attributes. I guess, you know, there's clattering and clanging and, you know, and chafing of the pump or whatever, but it was a repeatable pattern that they were able to derive from the sensor data. And from this, they were able to determine when someone needed to roll a truck out to the oil pump and to replace it or repair it. And this was a huge savings because up until then, all of the repair work had been done visually. You know, you periodically send somebody out to an oil pump to take a look at it, and the time of their arrival did not necessarily coincide with when the pump was breaking down. So, you know, there was a tremendous efficiencies gained by being able to monitor effectively what the activity was of the pump and to anticipate when the pumps were going to break down and then send maintenance people then and only then. And that was only brought about by being able to sort through mounds of data of what was happening with the oil pumps and to be able to draw inferences from that as to when it was going to need to be maintained next.
We're also almost at the end of our podcast, but there's so much more info.
Sure. Perhaps I can make some comments about cybersecurity as well.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, during the early implementations of industrial IoT, and there are a lot of sensors of various kinds that were deployed that unfortunately were deployed with very simple default access. You know, passwords were admin, or, you know, the password was password.
And, or not even changeable passwords, as in the giant camera hack of whenever that was recently.
Yeah. The security cameras were hacked into, and nobody envisioned that security cameras, which are internet enabled, could be turned into botnets and used to as zombies in a distributed denial of service attack. And so, you know, I think this is something that the industry is going to solve over time, but there's a lot of sensors out there that were deployed initially that were not very well password protected and therefore are vulnerable. You know, it's certainly an issue that is causing concern and perhaps is slowing down the deployment of IoT networks while the users are very concerned about how the technology may be used against them. Right. But I think this is something that can be solved and will be solved as we go forward with updates in technology and the advent of multi-factor authentication.
Well, and also, you know, new laws coming about, right? The U.S. Congress just passed a law that you're required. And it's very specific in its use case, but you're required now to have a changeable password, user changeable password, and certain devices. You're required to have certain kinds of levels of security and things like that. So that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, the other interesting thing is to your point, right, manufacturing is getting cheaper on sensors and things like that. So, and also blockchain, as we just learned recently, a couple days ago, is also affecting how we're able to see sensor networks and how edge network devices are getting smarter too. So what do you see there? What's got you excited for next year? Like that, you know, we're kind of building into those things.
Well, in the IoT world, the sky is truly the limit. You know, there's not a day goes by that there isn't some new and interesting use case that's being developed. You know, you need to kind of think of IoT as the extension of human awareness, that what we're doing is we're enabling machine technology to extend our awareness geographically and within our own premises to a greater detail, so that we have machines looking after processes and functions that would otherwise garner our attention.
Very cool. I know people will want to continue this conversation, especially bugged both of us. How do people find you? Where do they find you?
Sure. Welcome to check me out on my website, which is aberfoyleassociates.com.
Okay.
And once again, my name is Mark Langford.
I'll put all this in the link description for the podcast below. Thank you so much for getting shanghaied into this podcast.
You're welcome.